Okay. Can you start telling me something about your family background?
You mean my mother and father? My mother, Tatsue Nishida, was born in Wakayama, Japan, April 15, 1893. Mm-hmm. And she came to the United States and landed in Seattle, Washington, February 2, 1913. My father was born in Japan, Wakayama, in Kawasaki, Japan, March 12, 1878, and he first came to United States. Oh, he came to Vancouver, and he came August 31, 1907. He has since passed away, and on December 24, 1955.
Your mother came after your father came, right?
Yes.
Did she come here as a,
she came as a picture bride.
But was she already married to him before she left Japan?
No, she came to the United States, and then, as a picture bride, she had consent from her folks, so probably she was married, but her real, I couldn't say if she was married in Japan and she came here, but anyway, my father went to Japan, and then he contacted the family and came back, and then she came later. That's 1913.
Her
uncle
was
a go-between.
And showed a picture of his sister to mother.
So then
father.
And she goes to he goes to Japan,
so
and then that's where.
Start off when you tell, explain that.
Okay, I see. What was your father? How did your father come to the United States first? Do you know?
How did he come?
Mm-hmm.
He came.
Four days and they just a group of people, you know. Try to just come to the United States or Australia or any other place they want to go, they just came. Somehow, they got the passport and came, I guess.
Well, my father first, when he came to Osaka, he was he was very good in handwork, and he was making baskets, you know, those, weaving those baskets like caning. My father was very good in caning. And that's why he was there, and he worked and made some money, and he wanted to come to the United States because his sister's father died when he was very young. So he comes to the United States, but he comes to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And then from Vancouver, he goes to Wyoming and works in the railroad section. And then when he made enough money, he goes back to Seattle, and that's where he meets my uncle, Hisakichi. And Hisakichi says to my father, he said, "You're a good man, a hard worker. Why don't you marry my younger sister?" So he said, "Well, I don't know who she is." Well, he said, "Here's a picture. I'll show it to you." And he looks at it and he said, "Well, I'll take her run to Japan. I haven't seen my mother for a great many years. I'll go." And that's how this started.
I see. After he came back to Seattle, was he still in the railroad business?
No. He went to Makateo. Mm. Makateo is the little southern part of Seattle. Mm-hmm. He went to work in the lumber sawmill. And my uncle Sakichi was a bookman. That's where they put the lumber on the ship. And he was very good in mathematics, so he knew how to put the lumber in certain part of the boat so the boat wouldn't rock. And at that time, my father worked in the mill, so when the timber came, the big timbers, he knew just where to put the big timber to cut it a certain length. And after that, my uncle put it on the boat. So?
When your mother came to the United States, that's where she joined you?
Yes, 1930, my mother came in February. Mm-hmm. And I was born that year in December the 4th, 1930.
So you were you born in this place, Makatero?
No. Then my father was at the sawmill, but he comes to Portland, Oregon, and he's working in another sawmill at the time that I was born.
I see.
See. So at the time that my uncle and my father met, I think my father must come to Portland. My mother had some friends who was a dentist. His name was Yoshio, I don't know, I forgot his last name. I met the doctor. But anyway, he comes to Portland to meet my mother when she came, and this doctor and my mother evidently lived in the same part of Japan. And so she was very lonesome, and she wanted, so I think my father comes from Seattle and comes to Portland. In the meantime, I'm born there. And he stays there until I'm just big enough, maybe one or two, and then he goes back to Makateo again, where Hisakichi and Nishi and his friends were. He goes back there because there's more work, evidently. But my mother told me at the time that when she first came, and before I was born, she was so scared because she has never seen Hakujin, or we call it, she's saying Gaijin. And every time somebody came and knocked the door, she'd hide underneath the bed, scared. Mm-hmm. And one day, my father came home and to have supper, and she had burned the rice. You know, she was only about 19, I understand. And she couldn't cook. In fact, Kidley told me one day, he said she couldn't even boil a water. See, her parents in part of her country where she was born, and she was born in just a little way from Shingu. Mm-hmm. And it's called Miyazaki. And most of their work is like a fishing village like San Pedro, mm-hmm. Terminal Island. All the people that come, you know what Ichibai is? Well, that's what my uncle had, her brother had. And my mother, she never knew her father. Because at the time that her mother was pregnant, her father passed away very young. And I think she was a seventh child. So she really didn't know her father. She knew her mother a little bit, but anyway, her mother later on passes away too. And mother says, well, what am I going to do with this child? I have no way of making a living. So this brother that she stayed with at the time raises my mother, and her mother passes away. So really, her brother raised her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much, perhaps, education your parents may have had in Japan?
My father probably went up to sixth grade. Mm-hmm. My mother went all the way through school. If I had known this, I would ask my mother. She's still living in Long Beach.
Oh,
sure. 86. I believe she went as far as junior high school. Mm-hmm. I don't think she went to Jungakko. Mm-hmm. I've never heard her speak, although she's very bright yet at that age. She used soroban, and she sings once in a while, and she's very good. But
are you the only child?
No. I have, I'm the oldest. Then I have a sister a year and a half younger who is living in Long Beach. I have a brother in between. I think he's about 2 years apart. And I have another younger sister who is born in 1919. So she must be around 60 now. So there's four of us, three girls and one brother.
Were all of you born in Portland?
No, I'm the only one born in Portland. My sister next to me and my brother were born in Mukilteo, Washington. And my younger sister, her name is June. June was born in, I forgot the little town in the country. I think it was Ashu, Washington. She was born there.
So you don't even remember very much about Portland. Basically, you
were no, I don't know too much Portland. I visited Portland in 1928. But I really don't know too much about Portland.
Can you tell me something about the kind of community you grew up in?
Community?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have here, see, I wrote this down here. I was born in Portland, Oregon, December 4, 1913, as Mitsuyo Nishida. That's my maiden name. And my father and mother immigrated to America from Japan. And I understood I was the first baby girl born in this timber settlement where Daddy worked as a timber foreman. When I was a few years old, my folks moved to Mukilteo, Washington, another sawmill and timber town, not far from Seattle. I lived there till I was ready to go to school. From there, we moved south to a little farming town in Yakima.
Okay, maybe before you started school, do you remember very much before you started school? Like, what your family was like, what kind of places you lived, what kind of housing you lived in?
Well, when I was living in Mukilteo in the lumber place, the lumber company gave us a place, a shelter to stay, a home, house. And from there, my father went to work. And I remember we used to have chickens and ducks. And there was a Japanese little grocery store, and I was only about 3 or 4 years old. My mother asked me to go and buy tofu, and she gave me some money, and I went to buy tofu. But on the way home, I recall I saw some chickens. They crawled, got around me, and they wanted what I had in my sack. So I thought, well, I better give them some of this tofu. So I gave the... I had evidently had two tofu, and I got rid of one tofu with a chicken. I came home, and I got a scolding. I remember that. And so it really, there near the lumber yard and sawmill, so I saw a lot of train and timber and lumber. But I don't recall of having any... friends, small, because, like I say, there were just a few people that had wives in this country. They were too poor to have a wife. So my father, my uncle didn't have a wife either. So my father was really the first one to have a wife.
Did you always eat Japanese food when you were growing up, or do you remember?
Well, my mother was a poor cook, so my father did most of the cooking, and we ate most Japanese food, American food, basically, I think. But my father was a good baker. He made pies and cakes, bread, and that's where I learned to cook.
Did you play very much with your younger sisters when you were, before you started school?
Before I started school, no, not very many. I recall one time there was a neighbor boy, oh, a few doors down. Evidently he was a much older boy, but I remember my mother saying when my brother was born that this boy grabbed my little brother out of his crib and dragged him down the street. So that's the only neighbor I really recall. I can't recall who he was, but it was a boy.
Then what kind of things did you do to when you played by yourself?
I played generally by myself. I went to neighbors and played, but when I was old enough to go, evidently there were one or two Japanese women have come from Japan, and so I visit them, but mostly were the young men that worked with my father in timber, and they'd take me to the sawmill, I recall, and one of the men he lives here in California. I meet him once in a while, and he said I was just a baby, and he would take me and put me on the logs there, and one day I got crying, I wet his trousers. So in those days, evidently, I was about the only child.
Do you remember having very much toys to play with, or
no,
kind of things you played with?
The only toy I could remember is my mother took a cotton and took some thread and made a ball, and it's like a tennis ball, and I used to bounce that around the house. And my father went to Seattle one time and bought me a Japanese doll, and that's about all I know. I think we were so poor that they tried to do the best I can, but I really couldn't tell you what I played with. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know I did a lot of writing. My father was, he didn't have a lot of education. He went to as far as junior high school, but he was always wanting us for higher education. And that's how I happened to come to California. Otherwise, I'd be over there yet. And he used to, in the fall in Washington, 3 months of the year, it freezes and we have cold weather, so he couldn't farm after. So he would bring out the newspaper and he'd bring the Fude and the Sumi, and that's where I learned my Iroha and my Japanese. I really haven't, only 6 months of all that my lifetime is attended a Japanese school, and that was in Venice, California.
When did you start out, where did you start out school then? You said that you moved around the time.
I went to school in Yakima County. That was County Yakima until I was ready for high school. Then, when high school time came, my father, like I said, was more for higher education. He thought, well, we only spoke a little bit Japanese at home, but not fluently enough for anybody to understand. So my father had a sister in Venice, California, and her husband was a school teacher in Japan. So my father and he had corresponded, and he says, well, if you come to California now, there's a school where your children can go and learn some Japanese like you want them to do. So why don't you come? And that's how I came to Venice, California in 1928.
Mm-hmm. So then you started out school, went to regular American public
school. Oh, yes. I see. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you speak any English then?
Yes.
You spoke English already by the time you went to school?
Yes. The reason I did most of my interpreting for my father, my uncle Sakichi was very good. He was an educated man. So he spoke English fluently. But my father spoke too, but he wanted us to better than what he had been educated. So Yes, I spoke good English when I was small because I had an interpreter for it. I lived near the Indian reservation. So I used to know a little bit of Indian language too when I was small. And I always liked foreign language, so when I went to high school, I took Spanish. Then when I came to Elsinore, I had a German naturopath that I had hired to help me do my business. So I learned a little bit of German. I learned a bit of French. But I like foreign language.
Do you remember anything about elementary school and early school years? The kind of things you did in school, the kind of teachers you
when I was small?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it was fourth grade or fifth grade. But I had a very good art teacher. Her name was Mrs. Weaver, and she was good and caney, like my father. So my father used to take yanagi. That's a willow, isn't it? He takes the yanagi and he'd treat it, and he'd make baskets for me and make bird cages and different things. We'd hang it on the tree because we lived out in the country. And so Mrs. Weaver was very good at that, and I like that, art teacher. I learned a lot of art and nature from that teacher. But I think we were in about fifth or sixth grade out in the country. We had, I think it was poor water. And every Friday we had to take iodine pills. We all lined up, I think it was fifth or sixth grade, we all lined up after lunch and we'd all get a pill. And it was like a treat to us because it tastes like candy. And my father didn't give us much sugar, but we had a lot of honey because he raised a bee a little bit for ourselves. We ate a lot of peanut butter.
What was your father doing at this time?
He was farming.
He was farming. Mm-hmm. Did he grow anything in particular?
Potatoes and onion, alfalfa, grain, corn, and then later on we had green onions and dry onions. I don't think we had watermelon. My uncle did the watermelon, I think.
What made him switch from the lumber business?
Well, like I say, there was no children in Mukilteo that could be able for me to go to school. See, he was always looking for this higher education for his children. So if he stayed there, there were no children of my age that could be a friend to go to school. But by this time, my uncle was married and had a son and another son. My uncle had 13 children. So I was the oldest, and he thought if he came down to Yakima, because my uncle was going to come down and start dry farming, and maybe by the two brothers, brother-in-laws working together, and the wife, maybe they would get ahead and staying up there in the lumber camp. And so that's how they drifted down south. And my uncle stays on the farm till he dies. But he was quite well-to-do man then. But my father was looking for Japanese education, so then we come on to California and we left uncle.
Did your mother help?
Yes, she helped on the farm. Yes. Yeah, she helped on the farm. So she used to tell me this. I lived on a I could do farm work, but I can't do housework. So when I was small, I've been cooking and helping my family since I was 8 years old because my mother really didn't know how to prepare things. She couldn't read the English language. Japanese she could. But I remember times she would get Japanese shippunotomo, mm-hmm. Japan. And sometimes my father would go to Seattle and bring it home. And she would read that, and she would read to me. And sometimes I've seen the pictures of Japanese food. And I'd ask her, and she'd read it to me. And if I felt that I had a sufficient supply of things, then I would make it. She didn't, but I read it. And, I mean, she read it to me, and I made it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I, when my two girls and the boys, the four children, were big enough to go to school, I used to teach them the cooking, because I said, you know, your grandmother suffered, and I had to do all the cooking, so you might need it one of these days. So my children are pretty good cooking, do good cooking.
In your family, do you remember who made the decisions? Like, was it mainly your father who made the decisions, or was it your mother who made the decision?
When my uncle Hisakichi and my father used to farm, well, they didn't live on the farm. They're apart, but they'll be 8 miles or 10 miles apart or something like that. He'd have one farm, and my daddy would have the farm. They'd work together, but when it came to buying, say, a seed potato for the next crop or grain for seeding from Montana or Idaho, my uncle and my father used to get together and talk about it. I don't think the women had much to say.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who was responsible for the chai rearing in the family?
The what?
The chai rearing?
I think when I was small, I think my father was. Mm-hmm. Because he's always asked us, he says, if you learn anything, you'll never lose it. But if you like, you have a money, you spend it all, he said, you haven't got anything tomorrow. So I think it's my father, really.
So do you remember your father as being the one who disciplined you, or when you did something wrong?
Yes, my father. Very stern. He was so stern, some days I couldn't go to school because I was the oldest, and he disciplined me so hard that I just couldn't go to school. And my mother would comfort me, although lots of times I guess I went overboard and did things that I shouldn't be. I should be cooking and doing things, and I'd go out to play. You know, when you're about 5, 7, 8 years old, that's the time you like to play. But I had to cook and help the family. And my father would come home and potatoes weren't ready. The salad wasn't ready. Then he'd scold me, and I was really, you know, hurt. But now, thinking over, I think he did me a lot of good.
When your sisters started to grow up, were they also helping you with some of the house work?
No, my next sister didn't do much housework. She was a little more like a tomboy-like. And she went out and helped my father and do things like that, but she really didn't do too much. I guess a year and a half apart, we really didn't do much. And she went out to play a lot, but I really don't recall she didn't helping too much around anything, no.
So you were basically responsible
yes,
for the whole
house. Yes, I was. They know that yet, too.
I'm sort of going back and forth, but okay. I was wondering, the school you went in this place, was it a large school, or?
When I was going to elementary school, and it was Topney, Washington, I think that's where I started school. And there was two classroom school from first grade to the eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And maybe they were five. It depends on the community, how the children were, how many was in the family, but there were maybe 10 in one class, 5 in one class. By the time you got to the 8th grade, maybe there were one or two, but two teachers. Mm-hmm. And on every Friday, there was a man, what they call music, I can't recall what it was. It was a teacher. He would come, and we would have, I believe it was 1 hour, and all the school, the two class room got together, and we learned our basic, so we start with a Pledge of Allegiance, then our national anthem, and then all the different songs of the seasonal songs and the patriotic songs. That's where we learned. So basically, I went to a two-classroom school until I came to California. And when I came to California, I was going in the 7th grade. So being from another state, they gave us an aptitude test. And I thought, well, California school were much advanced than Washington because it was only two classroom, but I did very well. So I skipped A7 and B8. I went to the 8th grade, and which made it very, very hard. I left 1 year in there, and I really did struggle. But I made it, and I went to a little school. I believe that was another two class down in Playa del Rey school. That's between Culver City and Sentinel. There's a little small two room school there. And there was one Japanese boy who lives in Orange County now, I believe. His name was Frank Mizuzawa. And so I met this boy, and so there were just two of us in the 8th grade when we graduated Playa del Rey School. And then that was 1928. In 1929, my mother couldn't stay on the farm because it was such a hard work for her. It was a different type of work. It was so heavy work, and she became had an allergy. So we go to Terminal Island, where my father's friend and my mother's friend lived. And that's why my father gets employed by the Van Camp Seafood. And that's why he worked there until World War II.
When you moved to Venice, your father was in farming in Venice?
Yes, he helped on the farm. That farm was my aunt and uncle's farm. That's his sister. They didn't have any children.
Do you remember, it seems as though you moved schools after you came down to California a couple of times. Do you remember very much about, at this point, having some free time and playing with friends or spending some time, free time with them?
No, I really, if I look back that way, I really didn't have much time to play all my life. I really didn't. Saturday came, my father wanted me to learn Japanese, so I go a few hours. Now, when I was in Venice, California, about 6 months, I went to a Japanese school on Saturday. I think it was 2 hours. Then after I finished that, I went to another class, and they showed how to make clothes hangers with, you know, you wrap around, you've seen in these, where they sell these handmade things. And we make flowers out of paper and like that. He said, a woman has to have something to show that she can do something besides just sitting down and cooking and sewing. So I learned that for about 6 months. And then I went to Terminal Island and I never had time. So I really haven't had a free time for myself since I was 8 years old. I really did work. Because I went to high school since 1929. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. When you were growing up, like in the evening, do you remember having spending time as a family? How did the family spend time as a unit, or did you spend some time as a unit?
No. In the farm, when I was small, being raised in the evening, was like I said, you get the newspaper and use would then learn my Idoha. And then we have a little time by the fireplace, he'd make popcorns. And we make popcorns and dip apples. And my father would make peanut brittle. And Valentine's Day come, well, he would make a Valentine, cut the paper and make Valentines, and we would color the Valentines. Because there was no store or anything to go and buy your Valentines. So I come from school and I tell him what we're doing, so he'd cut out and make all kinds of Valentines for me, and I'd write the words in the Valentine, and that's how we exchanged the Valentines. In Christmas time, we made popcorns and strung them on the Christmas tree. I remember times that my father used to make bacon and ham. He'd kill a hog, and then we had a smokehouse. He made a smokehouse and he'd smoke all our meat. And we didn't have a refrigerator in those days. So we had a deep well, and my father had a basket, and he had made this basket like caning with a willow, and he put all the meat and fresh milk and butter in this, and we put it down the well and keep it fresh.
Did you spend very much time talking to your mother, or?
Well, my parents worked out in the field a lot when I was growing up. So really, in nighttime, if we had time, she would sing Japanese, what would you call that? Sometime was children's singing, sometimes she'd sing different Japanese love story singing, and I'd sing along with her. Then when I was able to go, my uncle was a Methodist, so I went to the Methodist church with him. And when I came to California, 1929, I was baptized as a Baptist, so I've been a Baptist since 1929.
When you were growing up, did your mother talk to you about things like menstruation, or?
No.
You didn't know?
Mother didn't tell me, and I was working and helping my uncle on a great big onion patch about 8-10 miles away, and I had to go to the bathroom. When I went to the bathroom, we had to go near the bush because we in those days didn't have Roosevelt toilet, and I saw this pool of blood and I got scared, and I come home and I asked my uncle. I didn't tell him what's happening. I told my uncle. I says, Uncle, I want to go home. He says, wait till tomorrow morning. I'll go home. I'll take you home. I said, Uncle, I want to go home tonight. He said, why are you so worried about you had to go home tonight? And I couldn't tell him because I was never told. And in order to hold back, I went down the ditch. I washed myself. And then in those days, we didn't have toilet tissue, but we used the Sears and Roebuck Montgomery Ward papers for paper. So I got hold of those paper and I made a real soft ball and I just plugged myself till I was ready to go home. When I went home, I went and told my mother. My mother wasn't surprised. I was getting about 13, I guess, when I started. And she says, well, that does happen. But you see, my mother didn't tell me because she didn't menstruate until she was 18. She didn't. She thought it was too early. So I told her what had happened. And she said, well, it's all right. So she made me a pad of cotton and fixed me up. And she said, you put this between your crotch and you have to receive until it stops. So that's how I learned how to take care of myself.
Did anything change from that point, like you weren't allowed to do certain things, or? Were you ever bringing forth the idea of being a girl or young, growing up to be a young woman, or?
Did I ever think about it?
Mm-hmm.
No. I really didn't. I just took life on a stride, evidently. Because I was the oldest. My uncle had 13 children, but they were all younger than I. And there was really no neighbor. We had a lot of Caucasian neighbors and Indians, but they were so far apart, not here. So if you want to go see a friend and enjoy talking to them, maybe it'd take you a couple hours to go there. So they came, or we went on horseback to play with them. Although across the street there was a boy that was going, when I was in grammar school, about second or third grade, there was a boy that was going to high school, and that was about 8 miles away. He went to high school and he was going on horseback. I saw him open the gate and go on horseback. That's all I knew. And sometime I'd go over and talk to that lady. She used to come over, and she'd get sweet cream and whip it for me and put a lot of coconut. And that was really my pleasure, to go and see her. And in the fall, when my father was finishing his crop, all his Indian neighbors would come, and they would clean the field with potatoes that were left over, and on the corner, where the grader didn't get through, well, then he'd let the Indians have them. And my father was very well-liked, because I know when they used to get deer or something like venison or salmon, they always used to bring to my father. And he'd give them corn. When the corn was husking through, he'd tell them to go. The Indian men didn't come. All the squaws came. And they cleaned the field, and we had corn, pumpkin. They would go through the onions. They would go through it. And they really just cleaned the field up. And the corn husk, they'd take it.